This meeting is now being recorded.
And I want to welcome everyone to our plenary call. This is one of our additional plenary calls scheduled so that we can allow the team to make sure they have the opportunity to weigh in on all the parts of our preliminary report. This is just going to be for the hour, and I appreciate everyone making additional time in their schedule to join us. Jonathan, unfortunately, could not join us this morning. Does anyone have any updates to their statements of interest? Okay, not hearing anything. First up on our call is going to be Drew, who's going to take us through his DNS abuse paper. And thanks to Jean-Baptiste for uploading this. And I know this came up yesterday. Folks, since the print may be very small on your screens, you can actually press the little plus sign on the bottom to make it bigger if you need to. One of the few technological pieces of advice I can offer. With that said, Drew?
All right. Thanks, Laureen. So for everyone, I'm sorry that I did not create a clean copy with the Google Docs. It still shows everything as suggested edits. But essentially, this placeholder right now serves the purpose of giving background on the DNS abuse landscape and why the DNS abuse-oriented technical safeguards came to be. And the purpose of that context is so that our readers can understand what the state of, why the safeguards came to be, and then just what the state of DNS abuse has been like according to some studies, because I've shown some studies in there, and then create the groundwork for why we launched our study. But with that said, this is going to be a lot, I expect that this will be a lot longer and have a lot more in it once we actually have the data from that study. And so with that in mind, there are no actual recommendations at this time. Instead, this just focuses on, like I said, the background on the technical safeguards, and then going forward, defining what our study, what we expect to learn from our study. And so once we have the study data, among the things that we'll do is we'll be looking for any correlations we can perhaps draw. So the study itself, of course, will show rates of abuse broken down by TLD, and then from there you'll be able to see it broken down by, registrar as well, and we can see what correlations there are, but also we'll be able to then maybe tell if new GTLDs have lower rates of abuse, higher rates of abuse, whatever, and then map the corresponding safeguards to see if there is any correlation at all, even though we won't be able to tell causation from that. And this version of the chapter, I guess Watto provided some feedback last night that I have not had a chance to look at, so I do need to look at that. But from what I've gathered so far, a lot of the changes I needed to make that I have made were in explaining things a bit more or stylistically, because as is the struggle with all of these chapters, this was created as a Frankenstein from bits and pieces of other discussion papers written by many different people. So I will continue to try to smooth out the style, but I'm wondering if anyone has any additional feedback. And like I said, Watto, if you're on the call, I've not had a chance to actually read your latest input yet. But for some of these, I know I created a few placeholder footnotes because I need to find definitions for some of the terms. But does anybody have any feedback?
Uh, Drew, it's Laureen, and this is just a general comment about definitions. I know Stan in particular is concerned with defining things, and certainly definitions add precision. The one note of caution I would sound is for certain terms, there are many different definitions out there. There isn't necessarily agreement, and I wouldn't want us in the quest for defining everything to be taking a stand on defining a term in a rigid way when actually it's debatable. So I just add that note of caution, because we don't want to presume to say this is the one and only definition and the review team agrees on this and ICANN should adopt it. I mean, that's not what we're saying, but I'm just sounding a cautious note for being careful how we, you know, in our quest to make things precise, to not box ourselves in when something actually is subject to debate in the you know, not even just in the ICANN community, but in the world at large.
Thanks, Laureen. And yes, I definitely heed to that caution. I think many of the things so far that I've flagged to define based on Stan's input and the input from others has been things like, you know, what is wildcarding, what's DNSSEC, things like that for which there are universal precise definition rather than attempting to simplistically define DNS abuse or something like that.
And exactly that's the example I was thinking about.
Right. And that's something with this chapter, so that everyone knows, is that I have attempted in this chapter to explain why our study is looking at the aspects of DNS abuse that we're looking at, because of course, we are looking at the parts of DNS abuse that are easier to measure because they're not dependent on content, or a content judgment rather, right? Something is either a part of a botnet or it's not, and things like that. And obviously, you can make mistakes, and people might flag things wrong, and there can be errors in threat data. But nonetheless, we focus on the things that are more universally and technologically definable for purposes of what we're focusing on with DNS abuse. And so with that said, after we get back all this data, you know, with this chapter, we might be able to do a better job explaining as we come up with our recommendations, other parts of things that people consider DNS abuse that should be looked at in the future. But for our baseline study, and our baseline report, that's what we're focusing on. So thanks, Laureen, for that feedback. Does anybody have any other feedback? So I see that Carlton in the chat just said we must not go all techie and structural. I think that's good to keep in mind both ways, where on the one hand, we don't want to maybe be adding so much technical information as far as technical definitions. And on the flip side, the other thing that stops us from becoming so techie is that we are defining some of these highly technical terms so that your average reader can understand it. Okay, it looks like Brian is echoing that. It looks like maybe there's a lot of edits since last night, because I was still working on this yesterday morning, so I'll have to go back. Looks like, fortunately, they're just to enhance the style of the chapter, which is great.
Drew, Calvin here.
Hey, Calvin. Calvin is the star of this chapter, by the way, because he came up with much of the technical analysis that was incorporated into it. Go ahead, Calvin.
Okay, so yeah, I went through it again, but probably just a couple of hours ago. And I, you asked a couple of questions and I answered you in an email, or at least an email to the list. And I made a couple of changes, but what I was finding was that this thing was getting quite complicated and difficult to, you know, work through with all the different changes and so forth to it. And I was wondering if we plan to maybe start from scratch again, or from a clean sheet again sometime, or not.
I'm sorry, could you clarify? Do we plan to start? Did you say do we plan to start from scratch again?
Okay, well, not scratch, rather start from a clean or accepted changes, or I'm not sure exactly what the terminology is, but something like accepted changes.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I thought you meant writing this all over again. I was like, no, we're not doing that.
No.
No, that's a great point, and that's something, you know, that I think Loreen was emphasizing we should all do yesterday. So what I can do is I can go ahead as the pen holder and accept all the changes to make this cleaner, because I think that'll help make it easier to read. And thanks for going over this again. And I still need to incorporate the language from your latest email to me into the group, frankly, that you sent to all of us. Something I would like for that one, and perhaps you can help me, is I still need to figure out a source to cite as you go through the, because I know you've sat down with, and you're included in this group with the technical people who know the most about this. I'm wondering if there's something we could point to, or even a series of things we could point to in the footnotes to explain how monitoring for wildcarding would work, because either way, I'll put that new language you provided in, and then with like something to cite, so that way a person unfamiliar with this can understand why or how you would go about monitoring wildcarding and why it would be that a technical operator should notice if that is occurring. And so even if we have a few sources that just explain what happens when a DNS query is made and how that query is resolved, that might help if we could cite that as we're explaining this wildcarding phenomenon.
Okay, so yes, like I said, I sat down with my techies and they quite quickly showed me the way that I've outlined in that email that I sent to you. So what you're saying is maybe look at making that email a little bit more points orientated, so it could go as a footnote.
Well, yeah, we can keep the language you wrote, we can put at the body, but then if you could just help me come up with footnote sources.
Okay.
And then otherwise, Brian is pointing out we could just cite the conversation itself. So we could just say on such and such date, one of the review team members had a conversation with, you know, these technical, this technical team, and this is the explanation provided. So worst case, that's what we'll do. But then if you can think of any other sources we could put into the footnotes, then just let me know. But thank you again for going back and speaking with your team about that.
Okay, no problem. And I look forward to a clean copy, so I can I have done a couple of changes early on about an hour or two ago, you know, going in through there, but I was finding it extremely difficult to work through the thing.
Okay, so yeah, I will prioritize doing that. That way, you and anyone else can make changes easier going forward.
Hello? Have we lost audio?
Drew, we can't hear you speaking.
I hear Aliza and Pam.
So this is Laureen, and I am continually having my sound cut out from the phone. This is the second time I've recalled. So I'm wondering if Drew's having the same problem.
He might be. Drew, if you can, we know you can hear us, so you can hang up and dial back in, and I will send an email to tech support.
Hey, guys, I've called back. Yes, so I guess I could still hear you guys, but I guess no one could hear me. So all I wanted I have no idea what point I was cut off, but basically in response to Calvin, I will do my best to make a clean copy out of this by accepting all of the changes that should be accepted. And I'll try to keep comments, even though some comments are deleted if they're tied to changes you're accepting. But I'll go through and do that. And then I was wondering from Calvin and from anyone else that other than, maybe some minor edits for clarity was, especially Calvin, do you think overall this chapter is okay? Acknowledging that we need to add some additional language.
It looks like it's going in the right direction to me. But I'd like to see a clean copy and then just run through it because I was really getting my mind in a bit of a warp. So go in the right direction.
All right, thanks, Calvin. So I'll try and get that clean copy done as soon as possible, hopefully today. As far as going through all the comments and incorporating them. So if anyone, I guess we can move on. And so my final question to the group is there anyone who, acknowledging that I will accept any changes anyone's added, is there anyone who opposes this chapter and is not comfortable with this going into our draft report? Okay, I don't see any objections. The only thing I see objections to is the quality of Adobe Connect. So with that, I will pass this on to, I don't know who's speaking next. Jonathan? Oh, no, Jonathan, not here.
No, because Jonathan couldn't join us. I think actually, is it going to be staff that is speaking about the next two papers of background on the review team and history of the new GTLD program? Okay, and is anyone speaking now? Because once again, my sound is cutting out.
I can hear you, Lauren. This is a
little good.
we're just trying to figure out who could speak to these papers. Brian, I think you composed the bulk of this paper. I don't know if there's anything you want to mention about it. It's really just we used a number of different sources from ICANN.org and from our own staff to construct a sort of abbreviated history of the program and expansion of DMS. So I'll let Brian speak to that, but obviously there's no recommendations or anything in here.
Hi. Can you hear me? I'm just coming off mute.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think there's much that we need to spend time on with this. I think it's pretty straightforward. If there's any additions or sort of glaring issues you see, what, please go ahead and let me know. But I think it's a pretty straightforward chapter. There were a few sort of minor edits that it looks like Margie made. But other than that, I don't really have too much to say about it unless anyone else has any comments.
I'll just pass on my compliments, Brian. I thought this was a really nicely done history, succinct, but had all the key components.
Well, as much as I love to take credit, it's sort of again like a Frankenstein of different histories of that we've taken off different sources. But thank you very much, Laureen. I did organize it, and Margie did make some good comments. So thanks. Does anybody object to anything in this chapter, or is there any reason we need to go back and look at it? Seeing none, I will go through and accept comments and so forth.
Yeah, I think it looks great.
Okay. Good. I think we
can. You can write the other chapters too. You can write the whole thing. I'm confident in you.
Don't, yeah, just
nice try, Drew.
Don't tell anyone else.
Nice try. So can we say this approved?
Sounds like we can.
Yeah,
I'm
not seeing any objections to this, so I think that's right.
Okay. I imagine people are kind of scrolling through it quickly now just to make sure there's nothing, but if there is nothing, I think I will pass the baton to the next presenter.
That would be for the history of that would be for the background on the review team.
Right.
And who's gonna?
Yes.
Who's gonna listen?
Good morning. It's Jean-Baptiste on the phone. Good morning, everyone. So this paper is really about the genesis of the Competition Consumer Choice and Consumer Choice Review Team. It's quite general. It's an introduction on who is part of the review team, how it was formed, and as for the previous paper, there are no recommendations on this document. Please let us know if you have any comments on this paper.
So, Jean-Baptiste, this is Laureen.
Yes.
When I saw the title for the paper, Background on the Review Team, I almost thought from the title that you were going to be talking about the review team members. And what I see the paper really talking about is the background not of the review team, but of the review. And so I would just suggest that title change, background on the consumer competition, blah, 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 review, because it team makes me think you're going to focus on the individuals, but it's really a procedural history of what came before the formation of the formal review.
Yep, I get your point. We can change that. Thank you, Lorraine. Are there any other comments?
And the one other question, comment I had is regarding the metrics, because I know from our earlier discussions that ICANN didn't gather data on all the metrics, and not all the metrics were the subject of, for example, the studies. And I don't know quite how we want to handle that, but I don't want to create the misimpression that those metrics that were recommended
have all percolated into the actual data that's being gathered and the review effort, because my understanding is that's definitely not the case, and I'm not sure there's clarity on that point. But Margie, you can, and Aliza and Brian, and the folks who are much more familiar with this can jump in if I'm misunderstanding. Yep.
Hi, Lorraine. This is Aliza. In terms of the references to the metrics and the other studies, I mean, those were compiled for the review team and with the review team in mind. I know that you've looked at some of them. I don't know that all of them have been used or have been used very much, but I do think it's worth referencing the fact that we have been collecting and publishing these pretty regularly. So that's why we felt we should include it in the sources available here.
Right, and I'm not debating including it. I'm just concerned that we may be creating this misimpression that there has been all of those all of those metrics have fed into everything, because we are aware of them, we've looked at them, but I can't say that all of them have been, we've picked up the thread on all of them in the, you know, in these papers. And I think that's where my concern is.
Well, I think that would be reflected in the papers themselves. I mean, all of the sources that you cite, you know, there's no finding or data that's referenced in the paper that doesn't include a citation. So I think that's certainly referenced. If you want to, we could include a line to the effect that, you know, the primary sources for this review team included X, Y, and Z, and list those that you did use more frequently, for example, the surveys and the economic studies and so forth. So that could be one way to tackle it.
Okay.
Megan, you have a question?
Yeah, sorry, I made a comment about the bylaws, which I've withdrawn now because I found the reference. I have something which I'm a little bit concerned about. I don't know what page I'm on. Anyway.
You can at the bottom of the...
It says, producing recommendations that are as data and fact-driven as possible is fundamental goal of the review. I'm just a little bit concerned about the way that is written, because it's true that we wanted to be as data-driven and evidence-based as possible in our process and in our review. I'm just a little concerned about the way it's written, because in many cases, as everyone knows, we didn't have the data that allowed us to make recommendations. It didn't allow us to come to as many conclusions or recommendations as we might have had. So it's just a question of a very slight rewording of that phrase. I'll tell you what, I'll try to put something in the chat and maybe that will help. I agree with the idea. I'm just a little concerned that critical readers will criticize us all about the recommendations not being data and fact driven, because often we're missing data and the real facts.
Thank you, Megan. Yes, if you can put some input, we'll take it into account. I don't see any other hands. No more questions. Okay, thank you everyone. So it's we still have 25 minutes. I saw that there were a few comments, but I'm not sure with regards to the first paper we discussed today, but I'm not sure we need to go back. Let me check. Okay. So we still have 25 minutes to discuss another paper. As Jonathan is not here, we won't discuss the application evaluation, but I was thinking maybe Georgina, didn't see any new modifications on your paper, and I was wondering if we could discuss it now.
Jordan, we're not hearing you if you're talking. Ugh.
Excellent.
I think Jordan needs to dial back in also, based on the comments. Are there any other staff papers that we can discuss? I'm trying to find the email with the schedule of papers, because it would be good to use the time where we have everyone on the line, because it sounds like. Doesn't necessarily sound like Jordan's is the best candidate here.
Yes, sorry, Lorraine. Hopefully you can hear me now.
Now I can hear you.
Okay, who knows what's going on with the bridge today? In any case, I haven't seen, we've discussed the consumer choice paper in the past, and I don't think I've seen any follow-up feedback since then, so I feel a little bit like a discussion would be duplicative of the past conversation, but if people feel like it would be worthwhile, I'm happy to sort of roll through it again. I guess the thing that is, we could look, yeah, no. so like I said, I'm happy to sort of roll through it again, but I haven't seen any discussion since the last time we discussed it, and it hasn't been substantively modified since then.
Jordan, this is Aliza. One thing we've been waiting on, because we've been working on formatting the papers in parallel, is the formatting of the recommendations in this paper and in the competition paper so that they're all in that standard format that we've agreed upon. Do you anticipate having that anytime soon?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's a relatively minor tweak, but I guess I haven't seen any feedback on the actual recommendations, so... I don't think they'll change in substance, just in form.
Well, the reason I raise it is because the recommendations aren't, I think it helps to see them in that format, to see who it's being made to and to discuss the rationale behind it. I don't think I don't know that we've entirely discussed each of the recommendations in that level of detail from these papers.
Sure. Yeah, we could do that. That's just—I mean—that's obviously not done yet, so we—that wouldn't be good for discussion today either.
No, agreed. Just pressing that point.
Yeah, I think it may just be without Jonathan's paper to discuss. We may be out of backlog for the moment.
I'm wondering if there's any possibility, since we have Megan and Dejan on the phone, if there's any interest in discussing the registry policies paper. I know I'm springing that on people because we have this extra time, so I understand if there is not a willingness to do that. But since we have 20 minutes and that's a discrete paper, as I recall, on the shorter side, that's something that's a possibility. I totally defer to Megan and Dejan here, if I'm putting you on the spot. And I see Megan's typing, so we'll see. We'll see her response. Fine for me. The recommendations are missing, which I'm hoping Dejan will be able to add. So. Dejan, do you have any thoughts about that? And Elisa's typing too. That's a good suggestion, Elisa, to have Dejan give his thoughts about that. Does Dejan have audio? Because I see a little circle with a red flash through it next to his microphone. Okay. Well, in the meanwhile, maybe Megan, you can walk us through the paper, and we can always circle back to it at its normally scheduled time. But at least we can have a preview right now. Does that seem like a reasonable use of our time?
Yeah. Sorry, I was typing something else at the same time. No, that's fine for me.
Great, thank you, Megan, for letting me pounce on you. No problem.
Dejan is really the brains behind all of this, and he did all the hard work. I just did some minor editing. So the idea here, and this is the point that Dejan was trying to make, was that in addition to price competition, there is also non-price competition. And what he was trying to show here was non-price competition between new GTLDs, and then he used five CCTLDs as a balancing or a comparative group, if you like, and I think 30 new GTLDs to show their privacy and registration rules. So issues relating to data protection, privacy, to whom would those TLDs, or to whom would the registries provide information, et cetera. And so he did a very good analysis of this and looked at these top new GTLDs and compared them with five CCTLDs. And his conclusion, which is not there, which I'm making now for you, Dejan, so if you don't agree, was that there were a number of very useful to consumers. I would say useful, but we didn't actually say useful, but there were certainly a number of privacy and protection provisions that existed, both for CCTLDs and for new GTLDs. I think the main problem that we have here is that we can't see how competitive those facilities were, either for increasing the number of registrants or whether those were beneficial or advantageous to consumers. So I think that, for me, that's the main problem here. Now, I'm sure there's a way of just showing that these are other factors that can be taken into consideration and that these are bells and whistles, I'm going to call them, which is a bit rude because they're not bells and whistles. They're very important aspects that give new GTLDs and some, in comparison with what CCTLDs do, some added advantages or benefits. So that's really where we are. Now, there were some comments about the parts in blue. I think it was Antonetta who suggested that these all go to the right protection mechanism portion. Ah, Dan is back. Wonderful. Well, I'll just finish my little point here, Dan, and then I'll let you come in and correct everything that I've said that's wrong. So the point that Antonetta was making was that the aspect relating to rights protection mechanism should go to that section. But Dehan's point here is that this relates to non-price competition in GTLDs. So I think some elements of what he's put here are important to that argument and not to the rights protection mechanisms, which are a different issue. So this section could be certainly condensed and made shorter, but I think it's an element that's important in the context of non-price competition. So I pass now to Dehan, and I will be quiet. You need to be a bit louder, Dehan. We can hear you, but very... Dan, we can hardly hear you. Can you speak louder? Maybe your microphone is too far away. We can hear that you're speaking, but we can't hear at all what you're saying. I heard the words mobile phone, but that's all.
Hear me now better.
That's better. More.
But I don't have text now in front of me because I'm speaking directly from the phone. So.
Oh, okay. Well, don't worry about the specific text. I don't know if you heard what I said, Dan. It was about the rights protection mechanism. That's one element, which I think could be reduced and condensed in this section, because I think it's an important aspect relating to non-price competition, some of the conclusions that you had, whereas the details could go to, okay? And then the other point is that, okay, and then the other point is that probably we need to clarify the recommendations and, you know, that usual format that Jonathan wants to have included. And I didn't try to do that because partly it's really 99% your paper. I just made some minor editing and adjustments to it. So I don't know if you're ready to make some recommendations or conclusions, or do you think we should all look at it together?
To be very careful if you try to make it together, but I will press fast through paper in a and try to make some recommendations regarding protection of privacy, especially in view of new European privacy regulations.
I think that would be very helpful. If if you can just put on, it's only 4 points, the recommendation, the justification for it, the timing, whether people agree with it, et cetera. If you could just put those down on a piece of paper, not a piece of paper, a staircase for everyone, then everyone will be able to see what is the result of the analysis that's been done here. I think that would be very helpful, and that will help people to concentrate on what is really there in the paper and also to comment on it. Okay, you better ask Jean-Baptiste about the timing because he'll have an idea of when the deadline was probably a couple of days ago. Backwards, I mean.
I wasn't my wife was born and son, so I was in.
Ah, congratulations. So you're busy. Of course. That's why we haven't seen you so frequently. So that's good news.
Yeah, thank you.
Good news for you and bad news for our... Okay. Very good. So this is our second CCC baby. We are making progress on the baby. Very good.
So
you have to name the baby after one of the CCC members.
Yeah, there's no any step here. But it's international name.
A GTLD name.
Yeah.
Very good. A third CCC baby.
Yeah,
okay, so Dehan will and I'll turn the microphone back to Laureen or whoever else is looking after all of this. Unless anyone has comments or does anyone have any comments on this? It's just Dehan and I who've been talking about it. Maybe someone else has some useful and constructive criticism.
So Megan, this is Laureen. As I understand it, the paper is seeking to discuss consumer choice in the context of non-price of distinguishing characteristics that are not price characteristics, such as privacy policies and rights protection mechanisms, and then comparing some CCTLDs to policies in the new GTLDs, and I know there's also mention of the public interest commitment. But basically, it's talking about expanded consumer choice through the lens of these additional non-price components. Is that a fair summary, Megan and Dejan?
Yes, exactly. Oh, excuse me, my question. Ah, je peux le rappeler dans une petite minute. Sorry.
So I just wanted to make sure that I'm understanding the gist here.
No, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely correct. That was exactly the idea. That one element of competition, because we were looking at competition and consumer choice and consumer protection.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Competition is for something that is supposed to improve consumer choice. It gives consumer better prices, better options, etc. And we were looking at price competition, but we also wanted to look at some elements of non-price competition. So this was the task that Dehan took on. And was looking at these non-price competition aspects of privacy in particular and data protection.
And as I understand it from the discussion and in my prior reading, the challenge here is that we don't necessarily have data to show how what impact these factors had on on increasing, for example, the number of registrants or making in general the domain name more used or appealing. Is that correct? There is some data. So I'm sorry, Dejan, it's hard for me to hear everything that you're saying, but it sounds like what you're saying is that there is some data. There's some data available.
Yeah, there is some data. One part of those data are already included, but there is that part of the data also on human data was part of.
Okay, well, I guess the action item is then, first of all, for the review team to take a closer look at this, and before that happens, though, Dejan is in the midst of more important activities is also going to add some recommendations here and take a look at the edits so that we can have a discussion finalizing this. I think it's either next week or in our next few sessions. So that would be the action item. Right. Right, in February, early February. Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone, and particularly Megan and Dejan, who acted within a moment's notice to jump in and discuss this paper, which I appreciate, and everyone else for making time for these extra calls. The best way for people to weigh in on these papers is in advance with the pen holders by making comments and being as specific as possible. It's even better, besides raising questions, it's even better to give a proposed solution if you're identifying an issue. So I would encourage people to think about that. So Wado is asking, when is the next meeting? And I'm so sorry, Wado, that you had to stop in the middle of your journey to take the call. What we've settled on to try and push through for the review team to have an opportunity to weigh in on all the sections of the preliminary report is adding phone calls on Thursdays at this time. So our next discussion will be on Wednesday at our usual time for the plenary call, and we will also have discussions now on Thursdays at this time for an hour just to make sure we can catch up, and those are scheduled through the first week of February. I think February 3rd is the last date for people to get in comments for papers. And maybe, Jean-Baptiste, I know you did send something out already, but maybe you can resend out the schedule to the team, just emphasizing that we're adding these Thursday calls. As I said, I know you did send that out, but just as a reminder to folks that we are now having plenary calls on both Wednesdays and Thursdays for the next 2 weeks. So with that said, okay, Jean-Baptiste is typing. With that said, I think we're going to oh, and Jean-Baptiste is also reminding me that there are also calendar invites that have been issued. So accept those calendar invites. So that'll be on your schedules in everyone's particular time zone. And Jean-Baptiste is also going to share the work plan once more. Thank you so much, Jean-Baptiste, and the rest of the ICANN team for supporting us as we're pushing through to get this preliminary report out. Okay, thanks everyone, and we will speak again next Wednesday. So take a look at the papers on the agenda for that call, send the pen holders your comments in advance, and then we can get through the calls in an as efficient manner as possible. And by the way, if your paper is scheduled for discussion during a time when you know you can't be there, let us know so we can adjust the schedule. Thanks, everyone, and also thanks to Drew for leading the discussion on the DNS abuse. Take care.